Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For the next 5 weeks, we're going to be on a small journey. We're going to start this morning, and we're going to go all the way to Reformation. It was interesting that there was a day in which I was listening to somebody else's sermon, and if you ever have this problem, you hear a sermon, and all of a sudden, you think of a sermon that would be great to give. The problem was, in the time span of this other person's sermon, I had written 5 sermons out. And so I said, hey, why don't we do this fall? This fall, we're doing this series on erosion. All right, anybody know anything about erosion in Minnesota? Especially when the ground gets really cold, and then all of a sudden in May it warms up really nice, and all of a sudden you start seeing cracks around buildings. So in Minnesota, we know a little bit about that. We just want to talk about it because erosion, or what erosion does is when you think everything's fine, and then all of a sudden you kind of see things happen. And the warning signals were there for a little while. And so we want to talk about erosion this morning. And if you notice on the screen, there is a nice house, North Texas, beautiful view. Beautiful view. No doubt this house cost a pretty penny, all right? So this house is looking out on a lake, all right? The problem being is that if you notice that the limestone bed underneath the house has completely fallen. If you notice, the view is even better if you're standing on the porch, right? The problem being is that a little while after that, now notice the porch in this picture, no porch in this picture, that the house simply started to give way, and after a while the house was no more. They actually burned the rest of the building simply because it was unsalvageable. And so this morning we want to talk about things that are salvageable, things that are true. That's our key word today is truth. We want to talk about truth, and I believe that when you look around any kind of media, anything in today's society, in life today, there is this whole idea of what is true and what is not true. Everyone look for truth on the internet? Does everyone look on the, do you find truth? You look up, especially the one that it's interesting is you feel an ache in your body, and all of a sudden you input it on the computer, and then you tell everybody that you have some kind of rare disease that only 0.5% of the people in the world, you don't see that? All right, so we're talking about truth, and I want you to take a look at this small video, because today is all about videos.
Wow, I didn't think I'd be back so soon, but there is evidence, hard evidence, that Super Bowl 53 was fixed from the very beginning. Evidence that the Rams knew all along and had to throw the game, and everybody conspired in this event.
Okay, so supposedly there's evidence that the Rams, who finally got back to the Super Bowl, just threw the game. And I never watched a single play from last year's Super Bowl. I wouldn't have any idea, any clue. I was not there, didn't see it live. Was it fixed? How do you know? Could he be right? Could the Patriots not be as good as they were? So we go around this journey, we ask ourselves, okay, could it be true? Is it really true? Is it not true? And so we want to get down to the truth. And interesting enough is when we talk about faith, it's a little different. Because we cannot say, I'm old enough to be at a place where I was walking with Jesus, walking with one of the disciples. I am not that old. All right, and so when we take a look at what's passed down from generation to generation, questions start coming up. And I think that's true of a lot of people. And today, there are many different faith different religions. Just a few of these. We have Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, agnostic, Christianity, and atheism. Both the top two, Hinduism and Buddhism, believe in many, 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 many gods, and they're adding to them here and there. And so they believe that truth is out there. You just need to look inside yourself. Islam, of course, Islam says there's just one God. Okay, they're monotheistic. There's only one God. All right, and basically the idea there is that the whole world needs to be Islamic. All right, agnostic. Everyone know agnostic. Agnostic is there is some kind of being out there. We just don't know a lot about him. And so there's something out there. We may or may not call it God. All right, so agnostics are kind of in between Christianity and atheism. All right, Christianity, of course, we're talking about this morning, and atheism. Atheism is, man, it has come out with a vengeance, and we're going to talk a lot about that here in the next couple of weeks. If anyone knows this guy right here is Richard Dawkins. He is a British philosopher, and he is the number one guy who's attacking Christianity. And not just attacking Christianity, he is basically calling everyone who believes in God stupid. I mean, he'll go that far. And somehow he gets away with it, and somehow his rhetoric is allowed. And so he has this bus, and on this bus he is trying to encourage people of faith and people of no faith to get together and debate on this bus. And this bus, it says, there's probably no God. Now stop worrying and enjoy your life. Richard Dawkins grew up Christian, and at one point he gave up his faith because he didn't want to believe in a God a loving God who would say that there is a hell. He didn't want to believe that a God would cause disease, a God who would send a flood. And so he totally turned his back on faith. And so the problem being is that faith is something that's it's personal. For Richard Dawkins, it's personal. And he's going to try to persuade you out of what you believe. And so this morning, I don't believe that's for us here today. So I want to take a look at, you know, what's different about Christianity. What's different from what Richard Dawkins would let you on to believe. And so from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10, if you would please read this with me. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. There's something presented here. Number one, people will try to tell you, well, this is a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy, therefore it's not translated correctly. Problem is, we found the Dead Sea Scrolls, and Dead Sea Scrolls, they actually show us that what they had done even past the time of Jesus, we have today. We have been shown that we have the Word of God that has been carried on for thousands and thousands of years. So, Richard Dawkins, sorry, but you've been proven wrong just by archaeological evidence. And the problem being is that here we have to take a look at this and say, is this true? Is this true? Because I've heard a lot of adaptations on this verse and a lot of let's take this and try to turn it on its head. How many gods exist? Well, there's a, guys, out in Hollywood, it's big time, right? How many gods are out in Hollywood? There is only one God. The problem in Hollywood is that other things are being worshipped. You got money. You got whoever is saying the most acceptable thing, the movie stars. They're revered. You want to be near them, to touch them, to have their handwriting. And so we take a look at this and okay, there are a lot of things that people can chase after. And God's saying here in his word that has survived thousands and thousands of years at a time in which Israel was going after everything in their Hollywood. And God said, okay, there's a small problem. If you want to chase after them, then the problem is that you're going to get what happens when people chase after things that are not me. Oh, by the way, I am God. Whenever you want to return back to me, I am right here with you and among you. So we see a nation that turned their back on God, and God says, I'll still be with you, even though that there's going to be hardships coming up. And so interesting enough is Isaiah chapter 43, beautiful, beautiful chapter in which God says, there is no other God. There is no other God. You can call things God. There is no other God. Either this is true or it's false. Either God is a liar or he's telling the truth as much as he can. Problem being is that this is where everything rests. Because if this is not true, then like that house, everything below it's going to fall. And so when we take a look at Genesis chapter 3, everyone know this one? You've heard this lie before. Genesis chapter 3, if you would read this with me. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You see how he took one little small bit of truth and he wrapped it so much in lies that all of a sudden it sounded really neat. Sure, she'll be like God. Like God. She won't be God. She'll know good and evil. The problem is that they didn't have to experience the word yada in Hebrew. They didn't have to experience evil to know what evil was. God says, don't do this. That's what you don't do. All of a sudden, Eve said, okay, you know, it looks good. I want to be like God. Don't you want to be like God? Don't you want to be just like him? This was either true or false. You can't have, well, you can't. True or false. Eve chose falsely. And so we take a look and say, okay, now we have a small problem. We're going about looking at things and saying, okay, man has a small problem within himself. Is that we like to choose things that are not God. And so we take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Let's read this together. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So the question is, saved from what? Saved from what? And to come to the knowledge of the truth. Those are some things to ponder here this morning. If people need to be saved, what do they need to be saved from? And the question is, who is the one doing the saving? In this verse, we take a look and say, Jesus Christ is the one who is at the core, at the center of our faith. Everything comes from who he is. And so even in this, if we can say in this modern times that everything is true, that we can say, you know, your truth is good truth and my truth is, and no one is false, then why did Jesus die on a cross so violently? Why did God give his own life? If he comes to earth and we can believe whatever we want, why did God say, this is the only way to heaven? Why? Why? Either one thing is true or it's false. And so God says, I want all people. Do you notice that? Do you notice he doesn't say, I'm going to pick and choose who I want to be on my team or in my heaven? Does he not all say, I want everyone to have a chance to go to heaven? You're either going to look at things and say, oh, wow, I've been ignorant of God's word all my life. Thank you, Jesus, that you have come into my life and you are the one who started my faith. Or you're going to say, God, I see all the great things that could be in you. I'm going to totally reject you. So John chapter 18, verse 37-38. This is two slides, if you would, read this with me. Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus replied, "You're correct in saying that I'm a king. I have been born and have come into the world for this reason, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to me." Pilate said to him, after Pilate said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I don't find this man guilty of anything." We see a man who had before him the Savior of the world. And Jesus was talking truth with him. Very plainly, very easy. At the very end, Pilate was asking himself, what is really true? See, he struggled, had the struggle within himself because he knew what was true. And yet he had a small problem. He had a man who was innocent before him, but outside he had a group of people that could easily overthrow him and kill him if they really wanted. So either put this man to death or have his own death soon after that. So Pilate goes out and says, "I find no charge against this man." And so they say, "Crucify him, crucify him. You are no friend of Caesar if you let him go." Pilate knew what was true and what was false. But aren't you glad? Aren't we glad that Pilate was ignorant? Aren't we glad that he chose wrong? All of Scripture in the Old Testament said that the Christ would have to stand in a judgment and he would be silent. He would not give to his own testimony to try to get him off the hook. So Jesus standing before Pilate, he had a chance to set himself free. Aren't you glad he said, "Pilate, this is truth, choose." Pilate chose to send Jesus to the cross. And we are the ones who benefit from him. So either it's true or not true. Either Jesus went to the cross to save you by his own blood, or you can save yourself. That what we do in this life can save yourself. There is only one truth. And so we need to get deeper and deeper in Scripture. I wanted to show you this video. Does everyone know about October the 3rd? It's coming up this week. Do you guys know about October the 3rd? Do you see Drew Brees? He plays for that other team. Called the what? Called the Saints. When the Saints go marching in, right? Drew Brees is a great guy. Strong Christian. He doesn't waver on what's true and what's false. And he's taken a lot of flack from doing that video in which he says, "Okay, guys, it's your right to take the Bible to school. It's your right to do so." And so bring your Bible to school is this week. It's something that was student-led, focused on the family, picked it up and said, "We got to advertise this," making sure that kids know about this. I want to say this is the second year that it's happened. This is what happened to a student last year.
And then I got to fourth period, and we got to have free time because everybody was done with what they needed. So we had free time, and the teacher was like, "What is that?" And I said, "It's my Bible." And they're like, "You're not allowed to have that at school." And I said, "But it's bring your Bible to school day." And he said, you're not allowed to bring it. It's talking about God." And then I'm like, "Yeah, it's talking about God, but I'm not talking about God." And he said, "Well, yeah, but you're still not allowed to have it." And I'm like,
so here we have a student saying that they brought their Bible to school, and as soon as the teacher saw it, the teacher said, "You can't have that in school. You got to leave that at home." Problem being is I have a small problem with that. When they're allowed to bring everything else about every other kind of belief, and the only thing that is kept out is the Bible. I have a small problem with that. And any teacher or superintendent who has a problem with me saying that, that's fine. That's fine. We're going to encourage our kids to be in the Word. And the number one way for our students to be in the Word is what? Is for us to be in the Word. Problem being, now, the erosion that I want to talk about today, the erosion that I'm talking about in which students might not know what to do today and might not. How many times have you brought your Bible to work? I don't have to necessarily. I do. All right? My Bible, and I've got a few of them, all right? And they're pretty worn out. The question is, are we bold enough to bring our Bibles to work, to go where we go? Are we allowed to do that? Are we going to say, October 3rd, I don't care how much I get ridiculed, I'm just going to bring it along with me and maybe read it over lunch or maybe see where that goes. Are we setting the example? The problem being is that isn't necessarily that the schools are being anti-Bible, anti-God. The problem being is that we have allowed that because we have set an example that's not pro-God. And so if a church is not setting an example of pro-God, why wouldn't our kids have that, well, we can't bring our Bibles to school? The Bible is the most important truth out there. So we want to encourage our kids. We want to encourage that by doing the same thing. And so today, that is the message for us today. Before we can say that the world is eroding around us, we first have to say we're going to have to take a stand. The Bible was brought over into America, and it was an amazing thing how the journey came, and now I can read it into my own language. I'm going to take the time, even before today's ending, I'm going to be in the Word of God. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us, Lord. And Lord God, there's a lot of things that are changing and eroding away from life as we know it. But there's one truth that we don't want to erode from us. Lord God, we want to boldly proclaim that, Lord God, you died for our sins, that you loved us that much. Lord God, we have to take a look at things in our own life and say there are a lot of times that we have not allowed that in our own lives. Lord God, we have not allowed love to be shown forth. We have not taken love with us to where we work, where we go to school. Be with us, Lord. Lord God, help us enact what we believe. Help us to carry out what you have asked us to do. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.